Hey everyone, this is Neda. Before we get into the episode, I just wanted to let you know that this episode was recorded a while back, before the murder of George Floyd sparked an international movement for justice for Black lives and against police brutality. We've been quiet on your podcast feed because we firmly believe that there are a multitude of voices that should be uplifted and heard before you listen to us gossip about off-season figure skating. With that said, we also understand that many of us continue to be in self-isolation due to the ongoing pandemic, and a good hour of entertainment might be something you need. One last note, 100% of our Patreon proceeds from the past few months have been donated to bail funds and other community funds, and we'll continue to donate a portion of our proceeds in perpetuity. If you want to know more about that, reach out to us on Twitter or head over to our Patreon where we did post a more cohesive breakdown with receipts and further information. Also on Twitter, you can find more resources on how to support Black communities and stay informed. It is important to us that you hang out with us on the pod as means of entertainment, but not as a way to shut off the rest of the world and pretend nothing more important is happening. Megan and I firmly believe that Black Lives Matter, of course, and we hope to continue to be a voice for that in our small figure skating community. We hope that you're staying safe, and we thank you for coming back to hang out with us. Without further ado, enjoy the episode. This is a podcast.
I have to leave and go home. Whose airport am I in? We've never recorded this podcast in the same room before, but through the magic of technology and the good generosity of my man Tom Nook, we are trying to do this via Animal Crossing. So I was at Netta's Island, and then I had to leave because the chairs weren't right, and it won't let Netta move chairs unless I literally fly back to my island first, which is...
Yeah, we know that times have been really hard for a lot of people, but nothing's been as hard as me having to move this peach chair just a centimeter to the right.
Imagine if that's how things really were. Isn't this just...
Like, if you had to kick your guests out to redecorate a chair?
Isn't this just ripe for comedy? This idea of, like, what if video games were real? That is...
one's ever done this before.
No one's ever done it, and I feel like we've really hit upon something here. What if the real world functioned on those zany video game rules?
Megan, do you want to do an intro?
I do. Welcome to the Iced Tea Podcast, the podcast where we spill the tea on figure skating. My name is Megan.
I'm Netta. Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. I am ready to get on a plane to go to your island so we can sit and record this episode in the same room for the very first time, even if it's just our husks,
our avatars.
It's just like the James Cameron movie Avatar. I do have blue hair.
Yeah, that's what Avatar is about.
We are, of course, not a real, you know, real life news program, but we are a figure. Are we a figure skating news program? I think today we are. I think the theme of today's episode is updates, breaking news. You know, these hard hitting, ripped from the headlines. You know, in parentheses, over the last 3 or so weeks, kind of headlines. We want to address just, you know, what's going on in the figure skating world. Just because the skating itself isn't happening doesn't mean there is no tea to be spilled. Let me get in this chair that we worked so hard. Yes. Okay.
Yay. Amazing. Welcome to this chair.
I love this.
Yeah. So this is an episode which is clearly extremely structured and rigid.
Like all of our episodes are.
Yeah. Well, you know, when it's competitive season, we have an outline that we follow. This is not this.
It does seem like ice rinks have been opening up. Nature is healing. The Russians are returning to the rinks.
I was literally leaning into my microphone to be like, nature is healing.
So we're starting to get to see people kind of post videos of like, oh, it's my first triple axel back on the ice, or, you know, just messing around on the ice. And it's nice to live vicariously through them. Both,
yeah, you know. I wish that were me. You know, when I had my triple axel before quarantine.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, it's, you know, living vicariously of accessing ice and also, you know, having the ability to do a triple axel.
Yeah, but on the other hand side, at this point, 2 Junior Grand Prix events have been canceled. Skate Canada just announced today that they will not be holding their Junior Grand Prix event. which is smart.
And also, on the note of events being canceled, I believe some of the Challenger Series events were also officially called off earlier this month too. Is that right?
It was Slovakia, which canceled the Nepela Trophy and also their Junior Grand Prix.
Okay, so what happened was, so the Andre Nepela was canceled, and the Asian Open is, like, postponed. It's, like, a TBD thing. It was supposed to be the second week of September. Wikipedia says it's TBD.
I'm just concerned that we're going to see more and more and more and more of this start getting canceled.
Yeah, it's like they haven't made a call yet on whether it's canceled or postponed, but it's what we know is it's not happening the second week of September as it was planned.
Yeah, so I guess we'll see. Yeah, so that's where cancellations are at. Two of the junior Grand Prix events have been canceled, and the Nepela Memorial has been canceled. Asian Open is being moved, maybe? And we'll see how this, more as the story develops.
More as the story develops. Yeah, I would be surprised if, like, the JGP Japan and the Autumn Classic happened, because they're happening concurrently with the canceled Nepela Trophy. And I know that a lot of it depends just on, like, what is going on in the local place where it's supposed to happen, but it just feels like kind of a matter of time, unfortunately. I mean
it's fine. I'm content to watch people return to the ice for a couple more months, if that means smarter overall.
Yeah, I'm definitely not an expert on the sort of junior phase of a skater's career by any means, but I would hope that would be, like, a slightly less problematic thing for them to miss than, like, a senior level Grand Prix, if they're at a point in the career of, like, oh, if I miss a season, I might get out of shape and have to retire. Juniors, hopefully, you know, they're early enough in their career that it would be more okay. And likewise, Challenger Series is, you know, sort of a tier below the Grand Prix. And so if something's going to be canceled, that would be better. Now, will the Grand Prix happen? I don't know. And it's, you know, it's hard to speculate. And if anybody's in the position to do so, it's certainly not us, but...
Yeah, we're not the epidemiologists or anything. We're just out here looking at Wikipedia.
What else? We're
beating around a bush because we haven't studied for a Russian history exam.
I studied for the Russian history exam, but before we get to it, I want to talk about the fact that Jackie Wong was on Jeopardy!
Jackie was in Jeopardy, y'all! Can we get a round of applause from your house for Jackie, who was on Jeopardy? And it was so thrilling. It was so exciting to see someone that I've seen be such an expert in a field, like, get to shine on Jeopardy. That was fun.
And he, in the great tradition of Brian Orsern, of Gennady Medvedeva, and that one time with Yuna Kim, came in second. And you know what? That's fine. Silver is respectable.
Yeah, silver is very respectable. I know he was. I watched his entire Instagram live after, which was incredible and so fun. But I know he was very critical of himself, as, you know, skaters and former skaters are known to be. But I thought he did great. I know it's... I mean, I've never been on Jeopardy or anything, but I know that, like, being thrust into a new situation can be very disarming. And I thought that for, like, the 25 minutes it takes to go through a Jeopardy, he did really, really good, and it was super exciting.
Yeah, from everything I've heard from, like, my friends who've been on Jeopardy, it's very much just as much, if not more, about, like, getting the buzzer timing and getting used to the differences between what you see on TV and what you experience in real life as it is actually knowing the answers. Because most of the time, like, all three of them probably know the answer, but only one of them got the right timing on the buzzer, so.
Yeah, the buzzer seems to be, like, the thing that everyone talks about being very hard to get. Because, like, that's the part you can't practice at home, right? Like, you can brush up your pop culture knowledge and your, like,
common knowledge shit, but you can't, I guess you can't buy the exact same buzzer and learn to buzz.
It would be funny, and maybe I'm saying this and this actually exists, but it would be funny if Jeopardy stands were having the same arguments as figure skating stands and being like, it's not fair that we're ignoring the artistry of trivia knowledge for the technicality of thumb speed. It's like, the sport is ruined. We need to make changes. We need to lobby for changes in the rules. It shouldn't be about the buzzer. It should be about the trivia.
Yeah, I don't know. Apparently, Jeopardy Twitter is not as opinionated or not as intense as figure skating Twitter. But I think if we continue to be in this no skating period, I might fuck around and start being a Jeopardy Twitter person and get in arguments with people over Jeopardy.
Yeah, we do need to find something to get unreasonably heated about. So let us know if you're involved in Jeopardy Twitter. Let us know what it's like.
I tweeted a bunch from, like, while we were watching Jackie's episode. I keep getting, like, random likes from people who I guess are Jeopardy Twitter. So hi, Jeopardy Twitter, if you've ended up here. Good to hear from you. And also tell me who to argue with, because I miss that in my life.
Yeah, the most interesting thing that I found from Jackie's sort of like behind the scenes tea spilling of his own on his Instagram Live was when he said that he was filming like the week before When Worlds was supposed to happen. And if he had won and continued to have to stay for subsequent days of filming, he probably would have had to miss Worlds, but he wouldn't have been able to tell anyone why. And can you imagine? Like, everybody would just be like,
yeah, that would be so, especially like, I mean, that's a lot of like, you know, things that would have had to go differently in the world for that, for like Worlds not be canceled, blah, blah, blah. But can you imagine, like, a world where he's filming as an event is happening? He would have had to, like, get one of his friends to, like, ghost tweet for him.
Yeah, or he would have, like, found a way to do it, knowing him, because he's actually, like, four people at once sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen him live tweet several events at the same time, so I believe it, but I don't think Alex Trebek would be super into, like, tweeting under the podium.
That, yeah, I'm not
just
sure.
Just having a quick live stream.
I'm not sure, yeah, if that's allowed. But anyway, we're very proud of Jackie. It was very fun to see somebody out in the wild on the Real People television.
Yeah, as a figure skating analyst. Also, I would like to see Alex Trebek do a double axel. I know we all love and respect and admire Alex Trebek, and he's a great person. I wish him continued health and all of that. However, Jackie insinuated that he got judged for essentially quitting figure skating when he couldn't get his double axel, which is not the full story. Apparently, it's a whole thing. But I would like to see Alex Trebek do a double axel before he judges other people for not having it.
Listen, Alex is a Canadian. Like, Canadians love figure skating. Obviously, yeah, he has high standards.
Yeah, you're right.
Every Canadian has to do a double axel before they're allowed to graduate from high school. It's the law.
Oh, yeah, that checks out. All of my Canadian friends have a double axel, actually, now that I think about it. Especially my ninth grade chemistry teacher, Miss Spinney. I'm sure she had her double axel.
Especially Canadian correspondent Daniel. Hi, Daniel. We love you. I do wish NBC Sports Gold had shown it. I think Jeopardy is a CBS thing, but I just feel like that would have been...
Yeah, I felt cheated that the ISU was not live streaming.
It's the least they could do.
Yeah, right? What else has happened, Megan?
Well, there's been a lot of drama in Russia, and we are very much going to talk about it. But first, a word from our sponsors, aka ourselves.
It's a break. Welcome to the break.
Welcome.
What do we have to say in this break? We do have a Patreon. You can get on that. My mom recently complained that we haven't put out a new episode, and she was like, I'm fully caught up on your backlog. And I was like, no, you're not, because you're not a Patreon supporter. So if you're missing our sweet voices in the weeks when we don't put out a new episode, you have half a year. An entire half year of backlog over on patreon.com/icedpod. We know times are tough for a lot of people, and obviously there's causes that need supporting, so there's no hard feelings if you don't want to be on our Patreon. But if you do have the $5 to spare, you get
a lot of fun content and our gratitude, and you keep our lights on. So that's super great, and we're always super thankful to everyone who is on Patreon. What else do we want to say in this break?
If you want to give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and or a nice comment, we would certainly love that as well. And that's free.
Yeah, that is super free, and it's super, super helpful. No one in the podcasting world knows why, but for some reason, those 5 stars are super helpful and super important. So go do that. It truly makes our day. And if you've left us a review, thank you.
That's all I have to say. Play Animal Crossing with us. Slide into our DMs on Twitter if you want to hang out with us on Animal Crossing. Oh, God,
please don't do that to me. At me, not in my DMs, but don't DM me. I will not respond. I'm just being honest.
All right.
Let's go back to being honest about Russia.
The main event, the thing that we all are excited to talk about, Russiagate has continued in a big and exciting way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nature is healing. The Russians are returning to drama.
Yeah, Russia, so an opening and a chance to provide entertainment and drama for the rest of us. This is insane. It's been, what, like 3 weeks since all of this started? We held off on talking about it because, as is the case with all Russian events, a lot has gone down and a lot of people have weighed in. Sasha Trusova left.
Sasha Trusova left Sambo. And not only did she leave Sambo, she left Sambo. She left Atari and Daniil for Evgeny Plushenko.
That feels like if you gave me a 2020 Mad Libs, I would have global pandemic and Sasha Trusova leaves Sambo. It's like, it feels like someone made this up for like insane drama reasons.
We're in a weird timeline, so nothing surprises me anymore, but this did surprise me a little.
Yeah, this did surprise me a lot. I mean, good for her, first of all. My personal opinion is good for her. Not especially because of my personal feelings towards Sambo or anyone else, but just because I think it's... Hopefully, we don't know who's at play here. We don't know who's, like, influencing her decisions, but it feels like an exercise of growth and understanding of the self to make a choice like this for yourself and your career.
Yeah, there are...
So regardless of, like, the in and out machinations of it, I'm proud of her for being hopefully mature enough to make most of this choice for herself. Again, we don't know who else is pulling strings.
Yeah, from what I understand, like, her parents were involved, obviously, because she's, like, a kid. But, you know... The drama is so intense. We did have a good friend of ours sort of who's much more of an expert on the Russian skating drama than us sort of put together like a Pepe Silvia style murder board for us. And our Patreon episode this month is actually going to be, we're having this friend on to walk us through it in much more detail than we're going to get into here. So if you want every single last drop of this insane tea, do head over to Patreon. But for now, I will say I think... My opinion of Sasha started to, I mean, look, we all know she was like my least fave going into this season. You know, the lack of artistry, the emphasis of like just athleticism, just technique, no, you know, grace or anything like that. That was sort of my opinion of her. And the more I saw her compete at a senior level, the more I started to feel like, okay, yes, do I enjoy watching her skate? Not really. Do I like what she represents? Not necessarily, but she as a athlete I came to respect because she seems super self-motivated. And the concern with the Atari girls is always like, are they being manipulated? Are they being controlled? And I started to realize that she seemed to have more of an independent mind and more of a like self-motivated drive than I worried she did. And this... kind of confirms that for me, right? Because she allegedly saw that, you know, Danielle was paying more attention to Anna Sherbakova, that Atari wasn't spending that much time with her students this year. She was traveling a lot. So to make a move, regardless of who else is involved, that's a ballsy move. And I also wonder how much of that was, I mean, we know Evgenia Medvedeva infamously changed from Atari to Brian Orser a few years back, you know, and we know that Zhenya and Sasha used to be roommates and were quite close. And I wonder, who knows, she saw that there was a way forward and that it could be done. You know, there was precedent.
Yeah. I really hope it was like an independent decision. I am excited to see in her future what her style and approach looks like under different coaching. Now, it's well on record that I'm not the hugest fan of Ploshenko just because, you know, not my personal preference. But it is interesting to see because everything we know of Sasha has been through what she's done in her old camp, choreography-wise, style-wise, approach-wise, costumes, like anything. You know, the Sambo brand is very specific and very recognizable. So it is very interesting to me to see how this transition happens and also what that means for, like, her overall approach.
We must say that Sasha was not the only person from Sambo to make the move. Yeah, there was a little exodus, but the other like main player here who migrated from Sambo to Plushenko was none other than a man that has come to be known in the fandom as Hot Sergei.
As opposed to Unhot Sergei, yep. But yeah.
Poor Dudikov. I mean, look,
God bless him. He's a professional and a whole adult person.
I mean, am I attracted to him? No. But would I feel really, really bad if there was like, if I was known as Megan and a colleague of mine was known as Hot Megan? Yes, I would. I would feel terrible.
You know what? I would like to think that if someone else was known as Hot Netta when I'm out here, I would like to think that I would see this as a testament to myself as a professional, that I've done more, that people don't need to refer to me as Hot Netta because I'm professional Netta. But I don't know. I don't know why I'm giving a pep talk to Sergei Dudikov right now.
You're doing great, sweetie. Don't let the haters get you down. You are beautiful, no matter what they say.
Yeah, Christina Aguilera wrote that song for Sergei Dudikov, actually. A little known fact.
Yeah, like 20 years, a little. Like, she knew. She knew it was going to happen.
Oh, she sees the future. Christina Aguilera sees the future,
Christina Aguilera is now among the ranks of Brendan Carey as the prophets of the world.
Yes, amen. God bless.
God bless. So Hot Sergei's real last name is what?
Rozanov.
Okay, so Sergei Rozanov. First of all, I need to ask a question. Do we find Sergei Rozanov hot?
Let me look at him right now.
I would call him more cute.
He's handsome.
Yeah, I was going to say handsome. He's hot. I don't know if he's hot. He's
handsome. I don't know if he's hot. He doesn't know his angle when he's taking selfies. I think he's way more cute when he is in pictures that other people have taken of him, because he does that thing that a lot of men do where they angle the camera down and then, like, tilt their head to the side. And that's not flattering on anyone.
No. Also, how old is he? He's not, like, 20, is
he? I don't know. No, because he's a coach.
Well, Daniil's, like, 27, 28.
Good for him.
Well, apparently Daniil and Hot Sergei were like bros, and Daniil heard this info and was like, bro, it was a top 10 anime betrayal, this whole thing, maybe a top 5, but Hot Sergei allegedly, like, he did go on record and say he wasn't a fan of Daniil's artistic vision, which automatically makes him very hot to me.
You know what, though? I do have to say, if we're bros and you go on record to criticize my artistry, I would feel very betrayed.
Oh, yeah. Like, it was a bro-trail. Like, there's no question about that.
Yeah, I'm not, like, I'm never, ever, not once in my life will I be on the same side of history as Daniil. However, I would feel very hurt, and I understand that. I can't believe that in the past 5 minutes I've given a pep talk to Sergei Dudikov and sided with Daniil. What is happening?
It is a weird timeline. I agree, but also, is it a bro trail, or is it a situation where someone such as Hot Sergei was on the wrong side of history? And so it's like, was it a betrayal of Prince Zuko to sort of forsake the Fire Nation? Like, yes, but also, like, he was correct.
I mean, yeah. You make points. But also, I will say, I did go into this with my emotions and claim that it's a bro trail. However, if you give me constructive criticism and we're bros, I would take that, I guess. But also, I guess it's not constructive criticism if you leave and then you tell the press, oh, P.S. I hated this guy's shit.
Will Danielle take constructive criticism, though? We don't know that. The other person involved here is Sasha's former coach, Volkov, who used to be a coach with Sambo and then moved to Plushenko before this whole thing happened. So it's kind of a reunion with Sasha and her former coach. And not only that, but like apparently Hot Sergey, despite not being as much of a household name or face as Daniil, has had a lot of success. He was supposedly the key to Tursunbaeva's quad cell. F in the chat for Tursunbaeva. We miss her. Even though we were critical of her, I do miss her now that she's not competing as much.
I hope she's doing good.
She seems so happy on Instagram. That's like, yeah. Honestly, that's why I miss her skating, because I didn't realize like what a fun personality she was until I started following her on Instagram. And I was like, come back to the ice. We miss you.
Maybe she will.
She's baking a lot and has short hair and is like living her best life. So,
isn't that the definition of quarantine? She's baking a lot and she has short hair now.
Yeah, that's it. That's all of it.
She was a trendsetter. She knew before any of us. She is one of the prophets.
She is.
It's her, Brandon Carey and Christina Aguilera.
Honestly, I would love to go to that party. If you want to draw fan art of them as like the three fates, please do and send it to us.
Oh my God, please do that.
The other things that Razanov was apparently had a hand in was Elena Kostornaya's triple axel, which is like universally viewed as one of the best, if not the best, in the field right now. It's also highly consistent. And apparently he's worked with Kamila Valieva a lot, who's doing fantastic on the junior circuit. And, you know, yeah. Crazy stick my leggy out real far choreography aside is pretty graceful for a little Atari child. So it seems like he's had good results and was potentially behind a lot of the good things that came out of this camp. So that's like, these are all things that are positives about Trusova's potential with Plushenko.
Yeah. What concerns me here, as usual with this camp, Sambo and the people surrounding it, is a lot of little kids, predominantly a lot of little girls, who give up so much to be in this camp. And if this man that we barely knew about, like, as people who are not, like, super, super, super in this whole thing, if he left and he was one of the, like, people really driving this machine without us knowing, that kind of sucks for, like, any kid who, like, moved so they could work with him.
Yeah. Yeah. It's also, there's this whole question it brings up. Well, first of all, what are my biggest wishes for Trusova? I want her to grow as an artist. Is Plushenko the man for that? I don't think so. I don't know. I mean, I don't have any reason to believe he is, considering his one, like, really major star is Ekaterina Rybakova, who I consider a really promising technician, but just a really, like, aggressive, balls-to-the-wall, no-nuance or grace kind of skater, right? So it's like,
yeah,
I don't know. Different choreo on Sasha will be nice at least, but the big overarching theme here, I think, is it a big, epic tragedy, betrayal, oh my gosh, the worst dramatic, most dramatic backstab in the world to change coaches? Or is it just something athletes do? Like, this is the back and forth. And I think, of course, it's something that athletes do all the time. And yet, like, Sambo keeps coming back to, we're a family, how could you do this?
Yeah, which I hate. I feel like that's the same. Wow, I'm about to go on a tangent. Bear with me.
I'm excited.
I feel like that's the same approach that companies have, like, in the contemporary office spaces where, you know, you have a ping pong table in the break room and everything's like, oh, but we're one big family, blah, 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 blah. That's a corporate strategy employed by companies, or in this case, a team, to make you feel guilty for doing something that doesn't agree with company policy, which is garbage because you do not owe any company or any team your personal time, your well-being, etc. This is a strategy that companies use to make you work some overtime without extra pay, come in on a weekend, blah, 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 blah. Of course, pre-corona, you know, when we could come in on a weekend. But that's something that always bothers me is blurring this line of professional and personal to the point where making a choice that's good for you, for your personal career, for your well-being, can be seen as a betrayal to an entity which is really not real and is very much manufactured to keep you somewhere. That's really shitty. And I think Sambo employs a lot of the same strategies here with the, oh, we're a family, because let's be real, they're not all best friends, and they don't have to be, because they're athletes. The point is not to be best friends. But it's shitty that they do that to their kids. Because especially, like, when you're younger, I'm thinking of, like, the alliances I had when I was, 12 to 14. I was on a cheerleading team and, like, all of that. When you're this young and you go places with those people and you travel together and you win things and you, like, share that, it's so easy to, like, really be convinced that you really are this, like, entity that is unbreakable. And it's shitty to manipulate young people into thinking they've betrayed something when they're just looking out for themselves.
Yeah, even people who are a little older, like young adults in their first office job or something, it's so easy to get sucked into this idea that you owe anything. You know, it's just something that you sort of learn over time as you get more jaded. And, you know, I would hope that a kid that's like 15, 16 years old isn't jaded in that way yet. And, you know, who knows? But I also love that Raph weighed in because, like, of course he did, always, yeah. Every time. He loves to shade Russia.
God bless him.
It's his favorite hobby. And it's important that we keep our hobbies up in this trying time. So, of course, he was like...
So shade Russia.
Yeah, of course, as a coach who... A lot of his students come from elsewhere once they're already sort of seasoned and ready to, you know, really take things to the next level. Of course, he was like, who cares? Athletes change all the time. And allegedly, Sasha was looking at Raph as a potential. And that would have been fascinating. Oh my God, that would have been fascinating.
Yeah, I kind of mourn that we're not getting that. I think that would be so interesting. And also, there's still time. Oh God, that would be so dramatic if we get to see like a Plushenko versus Raph thing in the future.
Here's what I predict. I'm not saying Sasha will go to Raph. I don't think she'll stay with Plushenko more than a couple of years. I feel like we've seen enough people go to Plushenko and then leave, and we don't have enough data. To me, it feels like a place where one could go if they were more interested in getting out but staying in Russia than, like, really going to this place for the specific reason. No, granted, yes, her old coach is there and Hot Sergei is going, so maybe she will stay and maybe they'll build a new empire and who knows. But perhaps going somewhere like Raph's camp is not out of the cards for the future. I just hope that she does have a long career and that perhaps this move could facilitate that in a way that maybe training at Sambo couldn't, just because they do place so much emphasis on training through injury. And I don't know, man. Sasha, apparently one of the reasons she was dissatisfied at Sambo was about the amount of quads she was allowed to do. And I wasn't clear about whether they were limiting her amount of quads or whether they were making her do too many. But knowing what I know of her, I thought it was that she wanted to do more than they were letting her.
Is that even in the rules? I feel like they let her do as many as physically possible. But we all know how I feel about quads as well.
I was very much under the impression during this past season that she was always pushing for the most technically difficult layout, and that it was like a conflict between her and then like the coaches who were like, maybe don't put in every quad every time, maybe do something a little safer, and that she always wanted to do everything she possibly could, which on the one hand is smart of her because...
I mean, that's her strength.
That's where she's going to get points. She's not going to get points from like interpretation of the music, or she shouldn't anyway.
Jesus.
But, you know, on the other hand, it's like, yeah, fall deductions, it's... Well, then, okay, so here's the next question now that we get here, is there's all this speculation over will she get that Sambo padding now that she left? The Russian Federation is, what does the Fed think about it? There's all this, oh, the Fed is mad or the Fed doesn't care. Is she finally gonna get hammered for the PCS situation?
There might be a fucked up situation where I mean, first of all, we gotta acknowledge changing coaches is always difficult for everyone, regardless. I guess her transition is gonna be slightly smoother, probably, because she has coaches that have moved either with her or who are already in this camp. So maybe it's not gonna be as jarring as just, like, I'm picking up, I'm with new people, period. But we gotta acknowledge, first of all, all of the uncertainties of this upcoming season aside, even if everything was going super smoothly in the world of figure skating, changing coaches, changing camps, changing training sites can be a lot for, like, anyone. So we'll see how that works. And also, with, like, slight changes in scoring and judging and not having the Sambo TM padding, this could either be where she flourishes and she proves to everyone that she's always been extremely deserving of, like, top marks across the board in every single case, or it's where, like, the smoke and mirrors kind of go away and we see, like, what's really there. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm also interested in seeing, as you said, like, changing coaches is hard, like, it's not 100% of the time, but I would say more often than not, you know, an athlete changes coaches from a school where they've been for a long time that trains a specific way. They typically have a little bit of a rockier season that first season back because, you know, techniques being corrected and they're unlearning habits. And so they go out and, you know, they mess up something that used to be so easy and consistent, right? But then, you know, further down the line, okay, it comes back and it was better than before. That's kind of true anytime you change any coach or teacher in any field. Is that going to be worse because she would have been off the ice because of quarantine, or is it going to be everyone's going to be having a little bit of a hard time because they've been off the ice and so the playing field is actually a little leveled in that way?
Yeah, you know what I've been thinking about is I understand that it's a reality. This is slightly off topic, but who gives a shit? I understand that it's a reality that some people are going to start skating again before others and all of that. I am, with respect to every single athlete out there, I am not looking forward to the first time someone gives an interview after a mediocre performance, like, I had 3 weeks less than so-and-so, and that, like, changed my entire life, and that's why I didn't skate as good. Because, like, the reality is that all of them have missed at least 2 months of skating.
You know what?
So I'm not looking forward to people, like, scapegoating with something that, like, everyone is going through.
You know what, though? Okay, so I would actually be really surprised if any skater did that. I feel like, for the most part, maybe this is me being naive. I always feel like the skating community is always pretty chill and would be the first to be, like, you know, things weren't fair, but we all did our best and whatever. I would definitely anticipate the rabid side of the skating fandom to pull that out if somebody doesn't get a score that they're happy with, to say, oh, well, it's not fair because my favorite got less time than the person who won, or blah, blah, blah.
Oh, yeah. People will know, like, the blurry screen caps from, like, someone's aunt's Instagram of, like, oh, yeah, but actually so-and-so was skating in April and my fave didn't get to skate until the first week of May. Like, we're going to get to see that.
I would definitely anticipate that more than I would anticipate anybody actually making that kind of excuse for themselves.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. You're very right, unfortunately.
Well, anyway, I guess I'm just really curious, and I don't know how to, like, wrap this up because it's an ongoing story. I guess the theme of this episode is, like, here's what has happened, and the conclusions we are drawing from it is we don't know. We don't know yet.
Yeah, all of this is so up in the air. Everything is happening right now, but it goes to show that this is going to be so cheesy. It goes to show that even if we don't have events happening right now, even if this off season ends up being longer than we would like it to be, the sport is very much an existing thing which is still happening, and there's still so much tea to be spilled, and it's always exciting, right?
I think it's always exciting. We hope you guys do too. There is so much more that we didn't cover in this story that is so gossipy and petty. So once again, not to belabor the point, but we are gonna get into a lot of it, the more gossipy, petty things about this story on our Patreon episode this month. That's www.patreon.com/icedteapod.
Oh, hello. It's me, Megan, from the future, coming at you. Help, I'm trapped inside a fishbowl. Just kidding. My good microphone broke. And while I wait for a replacement, I do want to take the time to thank our wonderful existing Patreon patrons who make what we do possible. Those superlative humans are Jordan, Danny, Julia, Daniel, Heath, Jennifer, Susan, Phoebe. In spirit, I am always throwing plushies at Evgenia Medvedeva. Daniil Gleichengau's choreography number one stan, Joseph, KM, Samira, Haley, Sally, and Aura. We love you, and once again, we could not do this without you, so thank you so much.
The good people want to see your tweets, Netta. Where should they go?
Oh my god, if the good people want to see my tweets, you should go to @NedaMarie, that's N-E-D-A, and then just Marie, like any other Marie, you know, on Twitter and Instagram. Also, I'm @N_ice skating, like nice skating, and also ice skating on Insta as well. You can see my roller skating progress on there. I managed to spin the other day. And it's the most exciting thing that's happened to me in the past 80 days since I've been in quarantine. Megan, where are you on the internet and also in life?
In life, I'm just in my room playing Animal Crossing. But on the internet, I am @MeganKelleher3 on Twitter and Instagram. We are together @IcedTeaPod on Twitter and Instagram. We hope everybody is doing well. And we thank you so much for spending some time with us. And we hope you have a wonderful life.
Yeah, stay safe. Watch out for each other. Wear masks. Be kind to one another. And we'll see you next time.
See you next time, everybody. See ya. Bye.
Bye.